Today is the Thursday, November 11th, Veterans Day, the 7th of Kislev, and we are learning Parshat Vayetze. This week, we're going to focus on Rachel. So it was really, really hard for me. I felt like a surgeon amputating different things from this shiur because I just had to stay focused because there's so many good things. We're going to focus on Rachel. Next week, when we read about Dina, we're also going to learn about Leah. So we're going to give Leah her fair share next week. So I wanted to begin with this Gemara, which I realized I didn't include the full Hebrew text of it. So if you want to check that out, you can go to Baba Batra, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. But I just want to read the English to you. And Rava said, if there is a teacher of children who teaches a few subjects, and there is another teacher who teaches more subjects than him, one does not remove the first teacher from his position to hire the second, as perhaps the other teacher will come to be negligent due to the lack of competition. Rav Dimi from Naharda said, on the contrary, all the more so is it the case that he will teach in a better manner if he knows that he is the sole instructor in the place, as jealousy among teachers increases wisdom. So that is the phrase that we're going to be focusing on. Jealousy among teachers increases wisdom. The Hebrew is I didn't even include the Hebrew. Oh, no, here it is. Kinat sofrim tarbeh chokma. Okay? So kinat sofrim tarbeh chokma. Jealousy among teachers increases wisdom. The one who is dismissed will try to refine his skills so that he will be rehired, and this will prevent negligence on the part of the other teacher. So we normally think of jealousy as one of the worst traits that a human being could have. Jealousy and anger are right up there as things that we want to try to excise from our own character attributes. But the rabbis are presenting here that jealousy actually has a positive side, that there is the bad jealousy, but then there's kinat sofrim, which is a type of jealousy that urges you and inspires you to be an even better person. I hope, what's kinat sofrim, for a lot of my colleagues, a lot of friends who just do things better than I do, and I see them, and rather than getting angry about them, I try to use it to inspire myself to improve. So the bulk of this shiur is going to be to analyze Rachel, based on the sources, of course, and to see where, when the Torah tells us she was jealous, we're going to see that right away, what kind of jealousy did she have? And was it the good jealousy? Was it the bad jealousy? If it was the bad jealousy, how can she be one of our foremothers? Did she change it? How did she adjust it? All of those things. So we're going to see a bunch of different viewpoints from a bunch of different rabbis on Rachel's jealousy. And I hope we'll be able to tie it together. And I hope everyone will be able to see a piece of themselves and their own jealous emotions they might have and learn from Rachel and all these different viewpoints on how to improve that. That's my goal in this class. Okay, I'm sorry about the formatting here. I don't know why it came out that way. It wasn't like that when I sent it to you, I don't think. So this is Bereishit Perek Lamed. So to get you up to speed, Yaakov has arrived in Padan Aram. He met Rachel at the well. He falls in love with her. He wants to marry her. He works for 7 years. Lavan then tricks him, Rachel's father, Rebecca's brother, and gives him Leah on the wedding night. And Rachel, of course, we know the Midrash. We might get to it at the very end of this shiur. Yaakov and Rachel had established secret signs about how they would anticipate their father tricking them. So they had something, and Rachel, not wanting her sister to be embarrassed, actually gave her the signs so that she would have them, so that Yaakov would be tricked, but that Leah would not be embarrassed. So then Yaakov wakes up the next morning, sees it's Leah, says something to Lavan. Lavan says it's not our custom to give the younger before the older. And then this is something, I just want to stress this, because a lot of people misread this. Lavan then says to Yaakov, you wait 1 week, and then you can marry Rachel, and then you'll work another 7 years. Okay, so he only had to wait 1 week to be able to marry Rachel. But then after that marriage to Rachel, a week later, he then had to work 7 more years. So I would just like to clarify that if you read the Psukim. And then Hashem sees that Leah is hated and she goes on to have 4 children quickly in succession. And that is the end of chapter 29, Chaf Tet. So now we are starting Perek Lamed, chapter 30. Vatera Rachel ki lo yalda liyakov vatikna Rachel ba'achotah. So Rachel saw that she had not borne any children to Yaakov. There's a lot of questions on this pasuk that some of the commentaries are going to address. First of all, what did she see? Sometimes we use seeing as a way of saying she understood, but it's pretty clear. Why did they use that particular verb to show how Rachel understood or saw that she hadn't given birth to any children to Yaakov? And what does it mean to Yaakov? That seems a little superfluous. Why doesn't it just say she hadn't given birth? And then the biggest question that we're going to focus on, Vatikna Rachel ba'achota. Rachel is jealous of her sister. This does not sound like somebody who is the foremother of 2 of our tribes, actually 3 of our tribes, because Yosef turns into Ephraim and Manasseh, his 2 sons. And what kind of character trait is this for one of our foremothers to have? Vatomer, and then she says, El Yaakov, to Yaakov, Hava li banim, give me children. Vim ayin, and if not, meta anochi, I will die. Okay, so this is also very strong, dramatic language. And what does she expect from Yaakov by demanding children from him? What does that mean? So we're going to see different interpretations of that. Okay, and then Yaakov's response also begs a lot of questions. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov became angry with Rachel. Vayomer, and he said, Hatachat Elokim anochi? Am I, instead of God, Asher mana mimech pri beten, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Is this what a loving husband? We know how much Yaakov loves his wife Rachel. The Torah tells us a few times. Is this how a loving husband responds to his wife who's suffering from infertility while the other wife is having child after child? So that's also very questionable. So then Rachel says, Vatomer hine amati bilha. Here is my maidservant, Bilha. And just a little cute mnemonic for you. So the 2 maidservants are Zilpah and Bilha. Zilpah is Leah's maidservant. I think maybe I mentioned this before. So if you look at the names of all the Imahot, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Rachel. So one of these things just doesn't belong. Rachel is the only one that does not have a hey at the end of her name. And hey, we've talked about this at other points. Hey represents femininity, whereas Yud represents masculinity. And so Bilha goes along with Rachel because she has a double hey. So she makes up for Rachel's lack of a hey. Okay? If you look at her name. So, Hine amati Bilha. Here is my maidservant Bilha. Bo eleha. Come unto her, vateled. And she will give birth al birkai, on my knees. This, of course, Lahavdil avte alfe havdalot. We can't compare it at all, but this is the basis for The Handmaid's Tale. I have not seen the television program, but I had to read the book in high school. It's a good book, but not what the Tanakh had in mind, intended for women. So she will again give birth on my knee, v'ibane gam anochi mimena, and I will also be built up from her. Vatiten lo et Bilha, so she gave him Bilha, shivchata, her maidservant. It's interesting, I don't have any answers for you, just pointing out that Rachel refers to her as Amati, and the narrator refers to her as Shifcha, so 2 different words for maidservants, Le'isha, as a wife. So that's also important, that Rachel isn't just giving her to her husband as a slave woman to do the job of a slave. She's giving her to him as a wife. So a lot of the commentaries that I didn't include here stress that she first freed her as a slave so that she would then be an equal wife. You should also know that most of the Midrashim say that Rachel and Leah and Bilha and Zilpah were all sisters, that Rachel and Leah came from one mother and Zilpah and Bilha came from another mother, and Lavan, in his manipulative evilness, preferred Rachel and Leah, so they were considered full daughters, whereas Bilha and Zilpah were slave girls.
Isn't Bilha considered one of
the Imahot? So it's very interesting why we don't include her, why we have 4 Imahot, when she and Zilpah both contributed 4 of the Shvatim. And we also, each Shevet has a different role, and the Midrashim go out of their way to stress that the Shvatim are all equal. And I've mentioned this before, that there are, I think, 16 different times in the Chumash that the Shvatim are all mentioned for whatever reason, either when they're actually being born or in the various censuses, different things, and they're always in a different order. And the Midrash says it's to show that one wasn't more favorable than the other. So it's a very good question why we don't honor them in the same way as Rachel and Leah. I don't have a good answer for you. We have to bring back the Shvachot, bring back Bilha and Zilpah, promote them to their deserved position. Okay. So she gave it to him. Lisha vayevoa leha Yaakov. Yaakov came unto her. Vatahar Bilha, vatelad Yaakov liyakov ben. Bilha became pregnant immediately, and she gave birth to Yaakov. She gave Yaakov a son. But Rachel names them. Vatomer Rachel. Rachel says, Danani Elokim. Hashem has judged me. Vigam shama b'koli. And he's also heard my voice. Vayiten li ben. And he gave me a son. Al kein karashmo Dan. Therefore, she called his name Dan, because Hashem has judged me, and Dan means judge or justice. Vatahar od vatelad bilha shivchat Rachel ben sheni liyakov. So she got pregnant again, and she gave, the handmaid of Bilha, of Rachel, Bilha, gave birth to a second son to Yaakov. Vatomer Rachel, naftuli elokim, niftalti. So nobody knows how to translate this, okay? So I'm just going to read from the English. With divine bonds, I have been joined to my sister. Okay, we're going to see a bunch of different ways to interpret that. Gam yacholti, nobody knows how to translate that also. This says, I've prevailed. Vatikra shmo Naftali, so she called his name Naftali. Now, this translation, I think, is a little disturbing. It's how most commentators understand it, that there's some sort of competition struggle between the sisters, and she's saying she prevailed. We're going to see another alternative way to understand it. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to look at is Keter Yonatan. So we've looked at him before. He's one of the Aramaic translations. So we've looked at Onkelos a lot, which is a almost word-for-word translation of the Psukim into Aramaic, which was the lingua franca of the day in the turn of the millennia. And Keter Yonatan is Yonatan ben Uziel, who's one of the rabbis of the Mishnah, and he wrote a translation also for the Torah and also for Nevi'im, the prophets, with Targum Onkelos is only on the Torah. And Keter Yonatan is a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic translation of the biblical Hebrew. Okay? So it's much easier to just bring the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic than breaking our teeth on the Aramaic, so that's what I did. So you can see, Vater Rachel Kiloya Dal Yaakov, Vatikna Rachel Bachota. So that's almost the same as our verse. Rachel saw that she had not yet given birth to Yaakov, and Rachel became jealous of her sister. Vatomer li Yaakov, and she said to Yaakov, remember in the original verse, I'll just remind you of the English, she said, give me children, and if not, I am dead. So the Aramaic translation slash interpretation says, Hitpalel lifnei Hashem. He doesn't understand it as Rachel thinking that Yaakov has some sort of divine magical powers and he can just produce a child, a fetus, in her womb. Rather, when Rachel says, give me a child, what she's really saying is, daven for me, pray for me before Hashem, pray before Hashem, vayiten li banim, and he will give me children. Rachel knows that children are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God, and she's asking Yaakov, pray harder. And if not, I will be considered like a death person. So he also lessens the drama here, not that I'm dead, rather I'll be considered as a dead person. Okay, so this first explanation is more of a simple understanding of it. Again, you can see the biographies at the end of the packet. Also, you can, if you have any comments on the fact that I'm giving you my whole packet, including all the stuff I cut out, or if you'd rather just receive what we're going to use in class, you can let me know. Vatera Rachel ki lo yalda. So Rachel saw that she hadn't given birth. Yesh li tein alev ze shene amar Vatera Rachel ki lo yada. So we need to put on our heart, we need to pay attention to the fact that it says that Rachel saw that she hadn't given birth. Bima ra'ata. What did she see? Halo adayin lo shahata eser shanim. She hadn't yet tarried 10 years. So you might know the famous halacha that if a couple is married for 10 years without children, it's reason for a divorce. And Rachel hasn't spent 10 years with him yet. There's no reason to panic at this point. And because she was younger, she's the younger sister than Leah, Ra'ui haya l'Leah shetelet kodam. It would be suitable that Leah would give birth. It shouldn't bother Rachel so much. Shaita gedola b'shanim, because she was years older than her. Kasha. And then he ends his comment by saying Kasha, which means it's a difficulty. He doesn't understand. Why is Rachel so up in arms with not having given birth yet? The 10 years haven't passed. She's younger than Leah. What's going on? And he doesn't give us an answer, but I thought I'd include that for you. Okay, here's the famous answer of Rashi. Vatikna Rachel ba'achota. Rachel was jealous of her sister. Kan'a b'ma'aseha hatovim. She was jealous of her good deeds. So you see what Rashi's done here? He's transformed it from the simple emotion, the bad emotion of jealousy, into what we discussed at the beginning, the kin'at sofrim, the jealousy of scholars. She's jealous of her good deeds. Amra, she said, ilulei shetzadka mimeni, if it weren't for the fact that she was more righteous than I, lo zachta levanim, she also wouldn't have merited children. So this is interesting, and we're going to see in one of the other sources that Rachel here is a little off. Her kinat sofrim, according to Rashi, is in the right place. She's jealous for the right reasons. But if she really understood her sister, she might have had a deeper insight into why her sister was having children and she wasn't. And the text tells us explicitly, which I didn't include for you here in the verses that we read, so it's in chapter 29, that God saw that snu'ah Leah, that Leah was hated. And that's why he opened up her womb. So all of our foremothers were meant to be barren, to develop this relationship with God, to seek God out and to pray to him. But God saw that Leah was hated. And again, of course, Yaakov didn't hate her. But when we think about this, imagine if you said to one of your children, Moishi, I love you. I just love your older brother better. Right? Little Moishi would feel hated. He wouldn't feel loved. So this is how Leah felt. So if Rachel had been more in tune into what was going on in the household, and I'm not making this up. I'm basing this on something that we're going to read. You know me. I would never make up some kind of psychological analysis like that. But it just makes you think that Rachel here is a little bit off when she doesn't understand why Leah might be having children and why she's not. So then Havali, give to me. V'chikach asa avicha le'imacha. This is what your father, he's assuming we understand that this means pray for me, the give me. So this is what your father did for your mother, as we read last week's Parsha in Toldot, that Yitzchak and Rivka davened together for children. V'halo hitpalel alaha, he davened for her. Meitan, so that's what Rachel's asking. She's asking that Yaakov should pray for her, like his father did for his mother. Meita anochi, I'm dead. Mikan l'mi she'in lo banim she'chashuv kameit. So from here, we learn that one who has no children is considered as if dead. We're going to see some other interpretations of that as well. There are four categories: blind, somebody who has leprosy, I forgot the other one, who are all considered dead. But I think we can safely say that that's only if they themselves feel that way. So we should have sympathy. But it doesn't mean that those people are worthless or dead in our world by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, so the first thing we're going to deal with here is Yaakov's reaction to Rachel, which is really crazy that this is how he would talk to his beloved wife who's suffering so much. So this is a beautiful midrash. Veichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov got angry at Rachel. It's not beautiful. I'm going to take that away. It's a powerful midrash. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said to him, V'chikach onim et ha-me'ikot. This is how you answer those who are suffering? So God himself is interfering and yelling at Yaakov and saying, this is not how you talk to a suffering woman. Chayecha, by your life, this is the language of an oath. Shebanecha omdim lifnei bena. Your sons, meaning the sons of Leah, will stand before her son, vehu omer lehen, and he will say to them, ki hatachat elokim ani. So look where this is. This is at the very end of Bereshit. The context is that this is the very last chapter of Bereshit, and Yaakov has passed away. And the brothers are terrified that the only reason why Yosef has treated them as well as he has, by providing them with food and giving them a special status in the Egyptian kingdom, is out of respect for their father. And the brothers are terrified that now that Yaakov has passed away, that Yosef will show his true colors and enslave them or worse. So they go up to him and they say, let's look at it actually. Sorry, I didn't have it prepared. Okay. So they ask him not to enslave them. Okay, so his brothers also went and fell before him, and they said, behold, we are your slaves. They offered to make themselves slaves before him. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, for am I instead of God? So you see, there's a very keen difference here between Yaakov's use of this phrase, am I instead of God, which was out of anger, according to this midrash, and despairing Rachel, versus the way Yosef, Rachel's son, used it, which was as a way of comforting. I'm not God. I can't decide your fate for you. You're my brothers, and I took care of you, and I love you, and I forgive you. It's a very different use of the word, and it's really beautiful to think that Hashem envisioned that Yosef would say this to his brothers in this very comforting way, as opposed to the way Yaakov said it, that it's not really revenge. It's more like a teaching. Like, look at how you can use this phrase in a positive way to comfort people, as opposed to using this way in an angry way to make them feel worse. So again, this is the Midrash saying this, not me. Okay, so, v'lo od, and not just this, she'ata omer b'tema. You said this in a question, u'bana omer b'lashon amitit, ki hatachat. And her son said it in a truthful way, because he was under God. Now, this is an interesting expression. Maybe it's because Yosef was supplying the world with food. He really was appointed by God to do this for the world at that time, whereas Yaakov wasn't appointed by God to do anything like that. So God is further digging this into Yaakov and the inappropriateness of his remark. Okay, now the rest of this Mishnah is an elaboration of Rashi, or Rashi rather shortened this elaborated Mishnah about what Yaakov's parents had done in their time of infertility. Oh, but first it says, Upshuto shel davar kachu. This is a simple meaning of it. Hatachat klomar v'chi mineni HaKadosh Baruch Hu tachtav. Has God appointed me under him? O natan biyadi mafteach shel akarot. Or did he give me the key of barren woman? So this is a famous Gemara that says that there are three keys that only God holds. One of them is rain. One of them is barrenness. The other one might be death, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. So did God appoint me under him that I would have the key to solving infertility? Ein hadavar masur elabo. Only God has that. It's only with God. Okay. So now, an elaboration of that Rashi. Asher mana mimech pribetin. That he withheld you from the fruit of the womb. Let's read it in English for the sake of time. From you it is withheld, from me it is not. She said to him, thus your father did for your mother. He girded his loins for her. He said to her, my father did not have children, but I do have children. So meaning, Yaakov saying, I already have four kids. I have six kids now because of Bilhah. Or no, that's before that, after that, sorry. So I have four kids from Leah. I have children. Yitzchak didn't have any children yet with Rivka, so his prayer was as effective as Rivka's. He said to her, but I do have children. She said to him, this is what your grandfather did. Did he not have children? And he girded his loins for Sarah? Sorry. So she says, Avraham already had a child, Yishmael, And yet he still davened for Sarah. He said to her, "So you can do what my grandmother did." She said to him, "What did she do?" He said, "She brought in a rival to the house. She said, 'If this is what delays me, here is my handmaid Bilhah. Come to her and I will be built. Just as she, Sarah, was built by way of her rival, I will be built by way of my rival.'" So she takes a cue from, it's actually her relative also. I can't think about the family tree right now, but Yitzchak's grandmother, Sarah, who brought in Hagar to have a child through her. And then Sarah did end up having her own child, Yitzchak, obviously. But, oh, Jeff, can you mute yourself? I'm getting an echo.
For me, you're getting an echo?
Yeah, it came on when you came on.
Sorry, I have like a Google Meet open also. I'll mute myself.
Okay. Good. Okay, I went away. Thank you. Okay, so meaning she's going to show her willingness to be able to have children, even if it's not directly through her. She's going to follow in the footsteps of Sarah, and she's going to bring in, it's very interesting, the whole idea of multiple wives, that the name for a multiple wife, we see in English it's rival, and in English it's called, in Hebrew it's called Sarah. So the word for a second wife has this connotation of rival, of a negative relationship. It's not the ideal. There's a lot of Kabbalistic understandings for why Yaakov had to have so many wives. We're not going to get into it now, but it's an issue. It bothers me. It bothers other people. I'm not going to get into that. Okay. So now the Siftei Chachamim, which is a super commentary on Rashi. So this is what Rashi says. Siftei Chachamim, the super commentary on Rashi, which is addressing the same thing that we saw in the Midrash about why did Yaakov get angry? Why would it have been so bad for Rachel to ask him to daven? So Siftei Chachamim is a collection of different super commentaries on Rashi. So this one tells us it's from the Maharshal. Yesh lakshot v'halo kama neviim hayu mitpalim al acherim. We can argue with Yaakov's response that he couldn't daven because he already had children, because there were many prophets who themselves had children who davened for other people. Kamo Elisha al ha'isha hatzarfit. Like Elisha, the famous prophet, who davened for this woman. It's the Haftorah, actually, for Parshat Vayera. It's in the book of Malachim. And she was barren, and Elisha davened for a child for her. Ve'af Yaakov hayalo lihitpalel af shehayalo banim. And so Yaakov should have also davened for her, even though he already had children. What's the big deal? Ve'od kasher lama vayichar le'Yaakov. It's also difficult. Why did he have to get angry? Hayalo lashiv banachat. He should have responded pleasantly. Ki devrei chachamim banachat nishma'im. This is a verse from Ecclesiastes. The words of the wise people are heard in pleasantness. Ela yesh lamar, the Yaakov amar la, shehit palel alaha. This is what really happened behind the scenes, in between the lines. Yaakov said to her that he did pray for her. V'hatzvila ina mikubelet v'enei hamakom. But his prayer was not accepted in the eyes of God. Amra la, she then said to him, Im kain, if this is so, if you daven for me and it wasn't answered, rasha ata, you are wicked. Lachain chara apoba, that's why he got angry. Shehichzika oto la rasha, because she held him as an evil person. Ve'amar la, and he said to her, Eini dome la ava, I'm not the same as my father. Ki ava haya gamkein akar, because my father was also barren. V'haya tfilato nishma'at machmat zukhut shnehem. And his prayer was answered on the merit of both of them. This is something I should have included in my class last week, that this midrash is the Siftei Chachamim is saying that it was in both their merits that Yitzchak's prayer was answered to have children. Aval ani eini akar, but I'm not barren. Ki mimech mana, it's from you that it's being withheld, v'lo mimeni, and not from me. V'ein kan ela zchut shel echad, and therefore it would only be answered, the prayer, in the merit of one, of you, Rachel, not of me, because I already have children. V'lechein ein tfilati nishmat, and therefore my prayer was not heard. So he's basically saying, I tried and I failed, and you need to daven for yourself, because it's from you that it's being withheld. So it tempered, it allowed us to understand Yaakov's anger in a different way, based on Rachel's reaction in that moment. Okay. So now the Kliyakar. So he.
I just wanted to say, Stacey, that if you accept that, then you could take that as being not a compassionate statement as well. I mean, it could be a practical statement, like you have to do it, but you could also say that, you know, maybe that isn't the most sensitive thing to say.
Right.
Possibly.
For sure. But it at least gives it a logical reason for why he might have said it instead of just responding angrily. But yeah, it's the whole thing is not very sensitive. So now we're going to get into some meatier, longer explanations. I have the English for one of them, but there's two others. They're kind of long, but they're so good and they're so deep and they're also nuanced and different. Okay, the Kliyakar lived in the 1500s. Keep that in mind. Hatachat Elokim Anochi, am I in place of God? Lefisha Rachel Amra, Hayalacha Lehit Palel Alai, since Rachel said, you need to daven for me, V'Yakov Heshivla, and Yaakov answered her, V'chi ba'avur zeh amarta havali banim, is that why you said, give me children? Mashma al kol panim, v'chi batuach ani, sheyikabel Hashem tfilati. It seems that in any case, that you're so sure that Hashem will accept my prayer. Ki ulai yigrom hachet sheyischa, Yisachech Hashem be'anan lo ma'avor tzvila. Be'anan lo ma'avor tzvila. So perhaps some sort of sin, I think this is what Kliyakar is saying, is that maybe Yaakov has in him some sort of sin that will create a separation, a curtain, a mask of a cloud that's blocking the tzvila. Ki kol mi shenit kabla tzvilato, anybody whose prayer is accepted, Domeh ki ilu omed tachat Elokim mamash, is similar to somebody who is standing directly below God. So the word tachat, we've been translating it in the verse as, am I in place of God? But here it's understanding it, am I directly under God? Is there a direct communication where I know that my prayer will go directly to God and it will be accepted? He's saying, maybe I don't have that ability. Maybe I can't, maybe there's some cloud blocking me and I'm not directly under God. So when your prayer is accepted, there's nothing blocking between you and God. And when your prayer is not accepted, it's as if there's some sort of partition that's separating, distinguishing, and blocking between him and between God. K'moshe ne'amar, as it says in the Book of Lamentations, Schota be'anan lechach ma'avur tfila. There's a curtain of a cloud to you that's blocking the tfila. I wrote down the exact... Right, you've covered yourself. God has covered himself in a cloud in the face of the prayer. Meaning in Lamentations, which is about the destruction of the temple, it's clear that Hashem had blocked himself off from all prayers. Ve'anan zehu hachomer ha'afel asher al piv yeh kol riv v'kol nega. And this cloud is the dark cloud material that's on his mouth, and it'll be every argument and every plague. K'mo she'nemar, as it says in the Book of Isaiah, Avonotechem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein elokechem. Your sins, your transgressions, your iniquities are distinguishing between you and between God. So this is giving us a much more humbler view of Yaakov and why he's angry, because he says, I'm not perfect. I don't know that God is accepting my prayers. I don't think I have the power that you think I have. V'lechach amar asher mana mimech pri batin, ki me'achar shemana mimech v'lo mimeni, Imkein vaday yodea Hashem sheyesh bach eza avon asher garam limnoa mimech pribaten. Okay, so therefore he said, who is withholding from you the fruit of the room? Because since he's withholding from you and not from me, if this is so, of course Hashem knows that you have some iniquity that's causing him to withhold the fruit of the womb. Okay, so we've got, I think, two things going on here. On the one hand, Yaakov's prayer is not accepted, but he's assuming, I think, that Rachel is also davening, and her prayer also is not accepted. So he's telling Rachel, there's something in you, some sin, that's blocking it. Okay. Velo is avon. Oh, sorry. Ve'oto avon yisachech bli safek me'avor tefila. And this sin is, of course, without a doubt, the thing blocking from the prayer. Miad nitna Rachel eliba lefafesh b'maaseha. Immediately, Rachel went deep inside of her to rummage through her deeds. Lefashvesh means to rummage. I like this idea that you think about all your actions and what you do. Eza avon, to find some sort of sin. Garamla, that has caused her this. Vilomatza, and she didn't find anything. Ki im midat hakina, except for this attribute of jealousy. Shaitaba, that was inside of her. Shenemar vatikna Rachel ba'achota. Because it says in the verse, Rachel was jealous of her sister. Okay, so this is very different from Rashi. Rashi tells us right away that this jealousy was kin'at sofrim. It was a good kind of jealousy. The Kli Yakar is telling us, no, this is not the good kind of jealousy. This is a bad kind of jealousy. And this constitutes Rachel's sin for why she hasn't been able to have children. V'chashva she'avon zeh garam la shelo ho'ila tfilat Yaakov al Tfilat Yaakov. So she thought that this sin is what's causing her that Yaakov's prayer wasn't effective. And I'm thinking now that this whole time Yaakov might be accusing her of having some defect and not seeing any defect of himself, which is causing this partition. But I like my previous understanding of it, that Yaakov also saw something in himself. So we'll stick with that. Alkei nitna aliba lashuv v'tshuva. Therefore, she placed it on her heart to do tshuva, to repent. Lahatot al ktzeh acharon b'davar shekatzitavo, to go in the opposite direction, the ends of the earth, of the other direction, of the thing in which she had sinned. Okay, now it's starting to kind of make sense. So if she had the smallest amount of jealousy in her, she's going to go to the opposite extreme to work on that jealousy. V'hu shematchila nitkana afila b'achota, v'achar kach lo nitkana afila b'shivchata. And this is, she had in the beginning, she felt jealousy even of her sister, somebody who you would expect to love and just be happy for them with whatever they have. She had jealousy for her. And afterwards, she wasn't jealous even for her handmaid, okay? It might not make sense to us, the psychology of this comparison, but for the Kli Yakar, it makes perfect sense that we shouldn't be jealous of our siblings, that we should just wish them happiness. And the fact that her jealousy was so bad that she was jealous of her sister, and she worked on it to the point where she wasn't even jealous of her handmaid. Al kein amra shebeschut she'achni sarati leveiti ve'ibaneh gam anochi mimena. And therefore she said, in the merit of me bringing in my rival to my house, I will be built also from her. Okay, so in the Kli Yakar's understanding, she's jealous of her sister in a bad way. Yaakov, in his response to her, he doesn't really address the anger so much, but he addresses his seemingly insensitive response, that she needs to find within her what is causing this blockage between her and God, that her prayer is not being answered, and she finds in it the jealousy, and she therefore offers her maidservant to prove that she's overcome this bad jealousy. Okay, so now we have the Akedat Yitzchak, who I think is 15th century Spain. He was one of the Spanish exiles. Again, you have the biographies, and I found an English translation of it. This was originally made famous, this explanation, by Nechama Leibowitz, who herself did not have any children. Just to remind you, we have plenty of great Jewish leaders who did not merit to have children. Of course, we have Nechama Leibowitz, we have the Lubavitcher Rebbe. There are many, many people who have contributed to the Jewish people in very meaningful ways. So, and Nechama Leibowitz, and it's probably no accident that she's also one of these people and that she made this explanation famous. So originally Adam had called Eve Isha, emphasizing her parity with man, Ish. So Ish and Isha are equal. After the episode with the Tree of Knowledge, he called her Chava, emphasizing the female element within her. Okay, so Ish and Isha are both Adam. Usually when we say Adam, we think of just man, but Adam also comprises humanity, and it's used that way in Bereishit. Genesis, to mean humanity. So Ish Isha, equal. Chava represents the female. Chava stands for Em Kol Chai, the mother of all life. So that is uniquely feminine trait. And the fact that she was the mother of all subsequent human beings. Between these two names, the two functions of women are defined. On the one hand, as the Eshet Chayil, woman of valor, she possesses all the ingredients that can raise her to the status of prophetess, meaning parity with men. On the other hand, her function is to become a mother. A woman who fails to give birth, just like a man who is sterile, has not forfeited her major function in life. As is proven from Isaiah, let not the barren proclaim, I am but a dried out tree. So somebody who doesn't have children should not say, I'm but a dried out tree. We hold the view that man's major function is the performance of good deeds, something quite independent of procreation. If Jacob had been angry at Rachel for demanding children, else her life would not be worth living, it was precisely for this reason. When the Talmud in Nedarim 64 states that of the four categories of people who are considered as dead, one is the group that have no children, the reference is only to their perpetuating their name on this earth. When woman, Isha, conducts herself true to her purpose as helpmate to man, Ezer Kenegdo, she also retains the name Isha, meaning a woman's sole function is not to have children. And if she thinks it is, she's gravely mistaken. She has much more to contribute to this world, just like a man does. When, however, she acts as a hindrance, her function is reduced to that of the female part. So this is it's almost, if you think of a woman whose function is only to have children, you are missing out on the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is for men and women to do good deeds and to contribute to the world through their deeds. A secondary part of a woman's function is having children. But to reduce a woman to that, which is what Rachel is doing to herself, she's reducing herself to that function of having children. That's why Yaakov gets angry. He says, that is not your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is to do good deeds. And if you have children, great. But don't tell me that your life isn't worth living if you haven't had children. There are so many other things for you to contribute in this world. So beautiful, so powerful. Whether you have children or not, I think it's so beautiful and powerful that we all have what to contribute to the world beyond our ability to reproduce ourselves. Okay, so that is the Akedat Yitzchak. And then we have the Haktav HaKabbalah, which we also saw with Parshat Chaye Sarah. He's the one who talked about the double life of Sarah, if you remember. And he lived in the 19th century in Germany. And he became a rabbi later in life, in his 40s. He was a tradesman before that. Okay. Danani Elokim. Hashem has judged me. Ra'ata imenu Rachel beliba. Shemipnei shechata nimna milaholid. So Rachel saw in her heart that it was because of her sin that she was not able to give birth. So this is similar to what we saw before in the Kli Yakar. Ki acharei ro'ah ki haita lea snu'a b'enei isha, v'hu eino kovea dirato etzal lea rak etzla. So now remember when I talked about how, according to Rashi, Rachel was jealous of her sister's good deeds, and that must be why she's having children and Rachel is not? So here, the Haktav HaKabbalah gives Rachel a deeper insight into her sister. He says, after she saw that Leah was hated in the eyes of her husband. So just a little bit of Hebrew grammar. Isha, I can't click on it, but you see, right, there it is. So if we want to say woman without vowels, daddy without vowels. So if we want to say woman, you don't include the little yud. Woman is spelled Aleph Shin He. When you see it with the little yud, it's Isha, with a little dot in the hay, meaning Ish Shelah, her husband, okay? So she saw that Leah was hated in the eyes of her husband, and he'd never established his dwelling place with Leah, just with her, with Rachel. V'hi lo hishtadla lehavi'o v'lekarvehu el Leah. And she never strived to bring him and to make him closer to Leah. This is an amazing insight that Rachel is having, that as the Akeret HaBayit, which is like the mainstay of the house, she had a responsibility to make sure that there was peace in her home, and she should have done whatever she could to enhance the relationship of Leah and Yaakov so that Leah wouldn't have felt hated. This would have been the worthy thing for a woman like her to do. Gam yachasa le'atzma tzad avon asher chata shelo shava ad Elokim. And she also related to herself in the sense of this sin, that she sinned, that she didn't do, she didn't repent, she didn't do tshuva. Or no, sorry, she didn't turn to God. Okay? Meaning, she turned to her husband to give her children. She didn't turn to God, Kamosha Neamar Barivka, like we see with Rivka. Rivka turned to God. Ukamosha Asta Chana, and like Chana did, the famous mother of Samuel, Shmuel, who went to the tabernacle to daven directly to God. Aval Neamar Ba, but what is said of her? Vatikna Rachel Ba'achota. Rachel is jealous of her sister. Vatomar Yaakov Havali Banim. And she said to Yaakov, give me children. Lachein Amra, therefore she said, okay, now, remember the two children's names, Dan and Naphtali? So the Haktav HaKavalah is going to turn each of those names into a vidui, an admission of guilt in the way that she's repenting. It's so beautiful. Okay, so therefore she said, Hashem has judged me. Danani Elokim. Ratzon Lamar, what does she want to say to that? Bidin ubimishpat. It was with justice and righteousness that God withheld from me children. Because I did not go before God with the proper prayer, or with prayer as would be proper. Despite all this, he did a chesed with me that he heard my voice, to fulfill a small part of my request. Because this is Bilhah's children, obviously, not her own, but she's grateful for it. V'lo heshiv p'nai rekam militen li ben. And he did not leave my face empty from giving me a son. Al kol panim mishivchati, even though it's from my handmaid. Al kein krashmo Dan. Therefore, she called his name Dan. You see how Dan is this reflection of her own tshuva, repenting process of realizing what she did wrong in not going directly to God to pray for a child. Ki midat hadin goveret, because this attribute of justice strengthens. V'lechein zachra Shem Elokim bedivareha, and that's why in all of the ways she speaks in her naming process, she uses the name of God Elokim. V'lo shem lo shem havaya shezachra Leah, and not Havaya, which is the four-lettered name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, like Leah mentions, which represents the attribute of mercy. So Leah would have a real sense of Hashem's mercy in her situation, and Rachel has a sense of Hashem's justice. V'chein al ben sheni amar, and therefore on the second son she says, Naftuli Elokim Naftalti. Again, this very difficult phrase that we said, I'm bound, divine binds with my sister. Hatzdika al atzma midat hadin lehodot pisha v'chatata la'Hashem. She is justifying on herself this attribute of justice to admit her iniquity and her sin to God. B'ma shehichisa v'heatziva et ruach achota, with that which she angered and she made sad the spirit of her sister Leah, liota aluva. That she would be insulted and distanced from her husband. And she thought about the way she withheld her effort to make her husband love Leah, in a way that was crooked and crookedness. So meaning she's seeing it in herself that she wanted all the love for herself, and she recognizes that there was some crookedness in her in this jealousy. V'lashon naftuli Elohim, so I think we can say Elohim here, It means a great crookedness, a huge crookedness. Kmo klomar naftolim gedolim ve'atomim, like great huge crookednesses. Kmo ir gedola lelohim, like it says, this is from Yonah, it's talking about Nineveh, and it says it's a great big city. So Elohim can mean God, and we say Elohim then, but it can also mean Elohim, where it means powerful, powers. Vigam yacholti, and also this word yacholti, remember, in the original it said, I've prevailed, yacholti, I've prevailed, and I said we were going to correct that. So vigam yacholti tamo hit amatsti, v'hit chazakti lalechet b'derech akash zeh. She's saying, I put in effort to walk in this crooked way. Ki'ilu amra, as if she said, b'mered u'b'ma'al hitalchi ima. I walked with my sister in an improper way of rebellion and even stealing what wasn't mine. B'ptutolim v'akushim, with all this crookedness. Milat yacholti, ki'inyan mibli yacholet Hashem. So the yacholti means an ability, a power, a strength. Shehu al hakoach lemalei hachefetz. This is the strength to fulfill a desire. And he says that in Yiddish. So how do we go back and look at that then? The way Rachel is interpreting her own actions and her own feelings. So Rachel said, I had a great crookedness with my sister. I wasn't nice to her. I wasn't appropriate with her. I didn't help her to have a better relationship with her husband. V'gam yacholti, and I even put that into power, this great crookedness. I actively did it. And therefore, she calls his name Naftali as a way for her to repent in this public way for how she treated her sister, and that she would be reminded, Dan, I didn't go the proper route through davening directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I went to my husband instead. I should have davened to God. And Naftali, I treated my sister improperly. That's what the name means, according to this explanation. That it's a public admittance for how she improperly treated her sister. Okay? So we're not going to have time for the Meshilach, which is also super cool. Maybe another time, maybe if we have time with Leah, because he also talks about Leah. The Meshilach was a Hasidish Rebbe in the 1800s. So I just want to finish. You may have heard this Midrash. We'll read it in English. But I think through all of these different sources and all these different nuances of understanding Yaakov's response to Rachel and Rachel's response to her jealousy and the way she named her children, I think we can really understand this famous Midrash on a much deeper level. So this is a Midrash on Echa, the Book of Lamentations, with the destruction of the temple. And it presumes that Hashem originally wanted to destroy the Jewish people and not the temple, okay? That he was going to destroy the Jewish people. So it talks about all of the different forefathers and foremothers who go before God and give him a reason to have pity on the people. Abraham says, look, I was willing to sacrifice my son. Yitzchak says, look, I was willing to be sacrificed. Yaakov says, look, I thought my child was dead. And Yosef says, look, I was sold into slavery. And then it says, Rachel. At that moment, our mother Rachel broke forth into speech before the Holy One, blessed be He, and said, Sovereign of the universe, it is revealed before you that your servant Jacob loved me exceedingly and toiled for my father on my behalf 7 years. When those 7 years were completed and the time arrived for my marriage with my husband, it came to my attention that my father was conspiring to switch my sister for me. It was very hard for me because the plot was known to me and I disclosed it to my husband and I gave him a sign whereby he could distinguish between me and my sister so that my father should not be able to make the substitution. After that, I relented, suppressed my desire, and had pity upon my sister that she should not be exposed to shame. In the evening, they substituted my sister for me with my husband, and I delivered over to my sister all the signs which I had arranged with my husband so that he should think that she was Rachel. And there's a bunch of different versions of this Midrash, and this next line is the reason why I chose this specific version. More than that, I went beneath the bed upon which he lay with my sister, and when he spoke to her, she remained silent, and I made all the replies in order that he should not recognize my sister's voice. I was kind to her, was not jealous of her. This is probably the post when she did the tshuva, the repentance, and did not expose her to shame. And if I, a creature of flesh and blood, formed of dust and ashes, was not envious of my rival and did not expose her to shame and contempt, why should you, a king with a capital K, who lives eternally and are merciful, be jealous of idolatry in which there is no reality, and exile my children and let them be slain by the sword, and their enemies have done for them as they wished? At that, God's mercy is touched, and he responds, "For you, Rachel, I will return Israel to their place." So may we all work on our own character traits as Rachel worked on hers, so that we also will be able to cry out to God to return us to our place speedily in our days. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashka.